at. And how you doing today, brothers?
Doing well.
All right. We are going to talk about, I'm going to bring a teaching. We're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to bring a teaching on how to study the Bible. And then I'm going to go over a bunch of points. I got some scripture. And then when we're done, we're going to open it up and all the brothers are going to talk about it. They're going to add to what I've missed. They can challenge anything I said. They can add other scriptures. So that's what we're going to do. And we hope this will be edifying to us, to the sisters, and to anybody that listens in later. So I'm going to get right to this teaching, an audio teaching, on how to study the Bible. This was brought up by Brother Purgos. It's a really good idea to teach people, how do you approach the Bible? How do you study it? And so that's where this topic came from. And so I'm going to lay it out, and then we'll go back and talk about it at the end. I'm going to start, as always, we try to frame ourselves around the Word of God. I'm going to start with some scripture. Matthew 4:4, our Lord and Savior said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the Lord gives us our instruction. We believe that the word of God is Genesis to Revelation. And so that's why we endeavor to learn it, to study it. And he tells us we don't live by bread, but we live by God's instructions to us. That's the living word of God. And then one of my favorite verses that I, ever since I was a believer, 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I know my brothers, and we could probably spend a half an hour talking about that one verse right there. I like how it says, be a workman, be approved, not ashamed. But the word I guess I would focus on for here, because this isn't a study on that verse, is that word dividing. I love this. That word dividing in the Greek means, or is, orthotomeo. And you might know it from like orthodontics for people's teeth, or orthopedics, straightening out people's bones. It means to make it straight, to cut straight. I like that. So we study the Word of God so that we live by it, as Christ said, and then we also rightly divide it. That's what we're going to talk about today. And we do that because we want to make it straight. We don't want to bend it. We don't want to twist it. We don't want to break it, meaning not keep it. We want to make it straight. So I love that verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. And I need to put a disclaimer in here as people are listening in. They're going to listen to it later, other people online that follow our website. This is aimed at blood-bought saints that are born of God. It could apply for anybody, a seeker too. But we're really aiming at the blood-bought saints here. So check out the gospel at don'tperish.com. Make sure you're born of God. So, and the main reason for that is because the scriptures will be illuminated for you by the Holy Spirit. And if you're not born of God, if you haven't surrendered your life through faith and repentance and born from above, you're going to have a hard time understanding things. Oh, you can come to the knowledge. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But it really helps as you study the Word of God. As Jesus said in the book of John, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal all truth to us. So this is aimed at the born-again saints that are seeking truth and seeking the kingdom. So before I get into the meat of what I want to do with this study, I want to talk about some basic points. First, when you're starting out, get a good translation. We're talking about, don't forget things like the NIV, the Message Bible, a lot of these newer Bibles. I would recommend a good King James or a New King James. Some people question the New King James. I think you can get by with that if you don't like the old English. And start with a good translation. And then we're going to talk about how you can know it's a good translation as we go through. So start with a good translation, King James, New King James. If you're brand new to the Bible, I encourage you to start in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and the Epistles. That would be basically, I would say, start in every other book besides the book of Revelation in the New Testament. That's where I would encourage you to start. The Old Testament will come. There's plenty of wisdom and knowledge and teaching and archetypes there. Well, that will come. So if you're new, I encourage you to start reading in the Gospels and everything in the New Testament other than the book of Revelation. Another point I would make to you is don't make your Bible study, if you're really seeking the things of God, don't make your Bible study like a once a week, once every 2 week thing. I would encourage you to make it a daily pursuit. And that doesn't mean you got to spend 3 hours a day in the Bible. Very few people have that much time unless you're in full-time ministry. But what I mean by that is reading the scriptures, hiding them in your heart, meditate on them, thinking about them when you can while you're at work, thinking, maybe listening to them in your car while you're driving. There's all different ways that you can meditate on the word and have it dwell. You're dwelling in the word every day, even when you're not sitting reading. You're thinking about what you were reading. You're pondering it. You're like a cow chews its cud. You're bringing up what you already read and ruminating on it, chewing on it, and really getting to understand it. So be in the word every day as much as you can. And then as you're studying the Bible, look for aspects of the gospel, faith in Christ and his shed blood, repentance, being born from above, holiness and obedience, and enduring in the faith. Look for that laced all throughout the Bible. And if you do, you're going to see it. A lot of people miss it because they don't look for it. Look for the gospel laced all through the Bible. That's going to help your walk and keep you very gospel-centered. My next point is, don't take teaching from men who do not preach the biblical gospel and you're not in daily communication with, accountable, testing them, knowing who they are. Don't take anyone's teaching like that. Get in the word, trust in the word alone. And if you know godly men that preach a biblical gospel, then that would be someone you could listen to their teaching, test them to the scriptures. Don't go online. Don't go on the radio. Don't go on TV. Throw your TV out, by the way. That's another whole topic. Don't go on YouTube watching. It's loaded with false teachers. Get in the word. And then if God leads you to some true saints that you see no sin in them, that's the men that you want to take teaching from and test them, not from people that you don't even know. I think that's a good concept. The other thing I would say is study the word of God in small bits, not big gulps. Think about it. When you sit down and eat a wonderful meal that your wife has made for you, you don't just swallow it in three gulps. Hopefully you don't. What you do is you chew it in little tiny pieces and you eventually consume the whole meal and you say, that was delicious. I tasted it. It was wonderful. If you were to gulp it down, you can't taste it. You don't even remember probably what you ate, and it's not going to do what it's supposed to do. And when it comes to the word of God, you want to make sure that you're taking small enough bits to understand it. We'll talk about that as we get to the meat of this. And then, of course, you're always testing all things. 1 Thess 5. Test what you think you know and believe. Test what someone says to you. Test what your old church systems used to. If you're taking teaching from men that you think are godly, test everything they say, including me, to the scriptures. That's going to help you to make sure that you become a biblical student. And then I encourage people, I say make a notebook, have a notebook and take notes. Some people can do it on their phone. Some people can type notes. Some people can audio record, maybe if they're reading the word out loud. Whatever you need to do, you know yourself, whatever you need to do to retain what you're learning, so that you can either pull it back from memory, maybe you got a computer memory, or you learn it in a way that you've written it down, you can go back to your notes and find it. One of the great tools for me and Sister Amin, my wife, when we started, was I would take notes, and when I was confident I knew something, I wrote a blog in a post, like a small teaching. And that really helped ingrain it deep in me. And I could always go to that blog. Hey, here's one on head coverings. Hey, here's one on Halloween. Hey, here's one on, you know, the Lord's Supper. I could always go back and find it. So that is a good point to make. How can you retain what you're learning? So those are just some basic, like, you know, 10,000 foot above level points. I want to next talk about the meat of it. Let's get right into the meat and how we get to God's word rightly. All right. The first one, make sure you study the word of God in context. All right. Now, I'm not going to go into real depth on each of these because we'd be here for a long, long time. I have teaching articles at the teaching blog at Don't Perish that will help you on a lot of this. Study the word in context. So what that means is when you read a scripture verse and you want to make sure who it was said to, how it was said, when it was said, and what it is about. And make sure that you're pulling the truth out in context. Let me give you an example. Romans 14 is the famous liberty verse. And Paul says that people have liberty on what days to celebrate and what foods to eat. People run into that chapter, pull it out of context and say, see, I can do Halloween. See, I can do anything I want. I have liberty. Paul said, not to judge each other. You've taken it out of context. The context of that was Paul said a Jew could still keep Saturday Sabbath and the Gentiles could eat pork because they weren't given that law. It was about the things of God, Jew to Gentile. It wasn't about us doing anything we want and having liberty. So that's just one example of how taking something out of context will be very, very dangerous. So consider that when you study the Word of God, when you read something, ponder what's the context of this and try to form and get the truth out of it based on good context. All right, my next point would be something called exegesis versus eisegesis. Now, these are fancy terms to a good way to study and a bad way to study. The bad way to study is something called eisegesis, and it helped me to remember it this way. Eisa, I go to God's word. I make it say what I want it to say, so it makes me happy. Eisegesis, and many false teachers do this. They'll run to Romans 10, and they'll say, look, it says just call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. That's it. That's all you have to do. Call on the name of the Lord and you're going to be saved. Well, that's not what that verse means when you read the rest of Romans. That's speaking to people that already know about repentance, being born from above, following Christ biblically. And so eisegesis is a bad way to study the Word of God. You're going to get bad theology, and that's why most of your churchianity systems have that. Exegesis is what you want to practice. And that means you're going to exit the truth of God's word. And that helps me to remember that. Eisegesis, it's what I wanted to say. Exegesis means I'm going to go to the word of God. I'm going to study it in context. I'm going to use these other tips I'm going to give you. And I'm going to exit the correct truth from God's word. So remember those. I've got an article on that. Always remember to use good exegesis. Most of the churchianity world operates on eisegesis, not good exegesis. Okay, my next point is don't proof text. Now, proof texting has some similarities to these other ones, but proof texting is kind of what I described already. You go to the Bible, you pull one verse out, you make doctrine out of it. Let's go, and I'll give you an example. John 3:16. I'm going to go to John 3:16. I'm going to say, oh, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him won't perish. Done. There's my theology. I believe in Jesus. I'm not going to perish. And I go out in the street and I tell people, just believe in Jesus and you won't perish. Well, that's a terrible proof text, pulling out one verse when our master told us live by every word out of the mouth of God. And he told us also in 2 Timothy 2, his word says to rightly divide and then we're to apply it correctly. When we read the rest of the verses, we know that a belief is not just a head knowledge. A belief is an allegiance to follow. And we learn what it means to follow Christ. Deny yourself, kill your flesh, be born from above by his spirit, to obey him in holiness. So don't proof text. It's a terrible, terrible way to study God's word. It will get you into a lot of terrible, terrible theology. All right, my next one would be look up Greek and Hebrew words. Greek is in the New Testament. Hebrew is the Old Testament. And there's many ways to do this. You can get a whole big, thick book. It's about 6 inches thick. And you can look up the G and the H numbers, the Greek and the Hebrew numbers, and look at the words. And what it does is it tells you the Greek word. Like my brothers call me tupos. That means to be an example to others. You can go and look up that word and see, and it'll give you other words that mean the same thing. Like under example, it'll say a die, a stamping, a sample, an example. And so the Greek and the Hebrew study is going to help you expand your view of that word and give you many, many different meanings. And that will help you a lot. Like the word love, you can love pizza, you can love your wife, you can love God. Clearly, we all understand those are different levels of affection or love or like. And so the different words as you study them in the Greek and the Hebrew will help you study that. You can also contact us if you need help. We can get you send you to an app that you can get on your phone. You press it, hold it, and it brings up all the different meanings. But here's a warning. Don't read their commentaries. Don't read the commentaries. Just read what the scholars, and they take 100 scholars and they test them all and they all agree. These are what these words mean. It's not one guy telling us what they mean. But don't read their commentaries, because you're going to get Roman Catholic commentary. You're going to get evangelical commentary. You're going to get all kinds of bad commentaries. Just go to this for the Greek and the Hebrew words. And I'll give you another example. Like, all of us men wear a long, loose garment, a long, loose shirt, untucked. It's called a tunic in the Bible. If you look up that word in the Hebrew, where God gave it to us, and God gave us coats of skins. Well, you look up the word coat and you go, what does that mean? Look up the word Hebrew and it tells you it's a tunic, it's a robe, it's a garment. So that really helps you in your studies when you look at the Greek and the Hebrew. All right, so my next topic would be study by topic. And here's what I mean by that. It's good to read the Bible and just read it and then go back and study the verses. And the brothers and I do that together. But I found a lot of benefit when I was brand new in the Lord to study by topic. That really helped me. And let me give you an example. Repentance. If you say, I want to learn what repentance means. So you look up all the verses that talk about repentance. And you can look in the Old Testament and the New. And it really starts to frame for you what repentance means, the depth of it, and it can really form good theology in you versus just reading a scripture verse and it says the word repentance once and you don't see other verses around in other books or other chapters to back it up. So think about study by topic. And I have articles at the Gospel link on my website that teach you about faith, teach you about repentance, teach you about born from above, holiness and obedience, and to endure. So that's another example of topical study. And I think, especially when you're new, it's a good way to build your foundation to study on topics. And again, I try to help people. If you go to my teaching blog, I've got all kinds of articles on topics that will really help you study. And then you can do your own topical study as well. So I think that's a good way. And then, of course, you can study verse by verse too, but topics will help form you quicker and get your theology and your foundation in good order. And then also, another side note, I like to teach people, and again, this kind of blends with some of the other ones I've said already, but make sure when you are studying, read the verses around the verse you're reading. So you don't just pull one verse out. This is kind of backing up proof texting. And then also read the whole chapter. That can really help you. What's Paul talking about here? What's the context? And then sometimes you have to read the whole book. Let me give you an example. If you pull a verse out of the book of Hebrews, it can really confuse you. And then if you just read the chapter, you can go, okay, makes a little more sense, but I'm still not sure what it meant. Go understand what the whole book is about. It's a letter written to the Jewish Christians that were turning back from Christ. And Paul, I believe Paul wrote it, Paul was telling them, don't fade back, don't turn back, don't fade away. Keep your first love. You know, and the whole, each chapter is a pleading to the Hebrews to keep their eyes on Christ, our high priest. And if you study that by the entire chapter, then it's going to help make more sense when you study verse by verse. Hopefully that makes sense to you. Study the verses around it, study the chapter, even read the whole book, and it will give you a lot of good context. All right, the next one I would say is, as you're doing this study and you're forming your theology, your doctrine, always test yourself to make sure that everything you believe doesn't paint you into a theological corner that you can't get out of. And, you know, there's a lot of scripture verses that you can study that seem really cut and dry. And then you have to be careful because you have to be ready to follow the spirit of God's word when the letter can't be applied. Some brothers and I were talking just the other day. If you were driving down the road and a car rolled over and a woman was in a car and it was on fire and she was crying out for help and thought she was going to die, and she wanted to cry out to God for salvation, and you were there to help her and show her the way, you wouldn't expect her to cover her head if she wasn't already a believer. The spirit would override the letter. And so whenever we have theology, make sure that you never paint yourself in a corner by making it something that you can't back up in all cases. And you'll learn that as you go. And that's something to be aware of. The other point I have is using word searches. Maybe I mentioned this already, but I just want to back it up again. So you want to study about faith. Go study the word faith. Look it up where it's used in the Old Testament and the New Testament and read all the scriptures about it, or many of them. Read the context of them. And what this will do is, I like to use this example to people. You know, if you read one verse about faith, it's like looking at a 500-piece jigsaw puzzle and take one piece out and look at it. It's a beautiful scene of a barn and a stream and woods and farm animals, but you take one piece and you're looking at it and you go, what is that? What is that? You've got a tiny picture from one scripture verse. But if you go and you begin to put many together, you get to see a really good picture of what faith is. And so make sure that you're using word searches and going to lots of other scriptures that use the verse or the word that you're looking for, and that's going to help round you. This is all about building your foundation in the Word of God. The foundation is Christ, Ephesians 2. He's the cornerstone, then built on the apostles. We'll talk about that in a minute. And that's what you're trying to do here, is build your solid foundation. Another key principle to studying God's Word, test all things. I already mentioned it, but I'm going to say it again. 1 Thess 5, prove and test all things. That means everything I tell you. That means everything one of my brothers tell you. That's everything a sister tells you. That's everything you think, anything you've ever been taught, anything the culture believes. Test everything to the Word of God. And when you do that, you will be so sure and so bold and so set on what God's Word says. You can live it boldly. You can share it boldly. If you're a man, you can go out and street preach it boldly. If you're a woman, God has great works for women. You can go out and share it boldly in the gospel. You can give your testimony boldly. You can help other sisters boldly. Men, you can speak boldly. If you test all things, you will have great confidence in the scriptures. Remember that verse in 2 Timothy 2:15? He says, not be ashamed. I think a lot of people can be ashamed by not knowing the scriptures. I should. How many times I've heard this? Ready? I should know them a lot better than I do. That means they're ashamed and they can't speak the word of God rightly. They also could be ashamed of Christ and be afraid of persecution as well. So test all things. That's a foundational truth. Here's one. Never assume anything. Prove it all. That goes back to 1 Thess 5. Never assume anything. Let me give you an example of this. Ready? How many of us growing up, I grew up as a little pagan, heard about the three wise men? Yeah, the three wise men came to see Jesus. Some brothers and I were just talking about that. There wasn't three wise men. That actually came along because of a song, some secular Christmas song, wasn't biblical. And they said there was three wise men. Actually, there was three gifts given by wise men. Could have been many of them. So that's a good example of don't assume anything. Test all things. Like Good Friday to Easter Sunday, Jesus was in the grave 3 days and three nights. Good Friday to Sunday morning doesn't work, does it? Nope. Go look that up. I've got an article on it. You got to test all things. Don't ever assume anything that you know or believe. Test it to the Word of God always. And then another really important foundational part of studying the Word of God. Ready? As you're learning, ask yourself, did the apostles believe and practice what I do, what I think, what I believe, what other people say they believe, what I should believe? Did the apostles do it? I'll give you another example. Christmas. I call it Christ Mass. It's the Mass of Christ made up by the Roman Catholics. Did the apostles celebrate that every year? Nope. You won't find it anywhere in history that the apostles celebrated it. So people in churchianity, evangelical, Roman Catholic, Anabaptist, they're all doing things that man invented that Jesus said, make your worship of God in vain in Mark 7. So make sure that your doctrine, that's what we strive to do as brothers, matches and lines up with the apostles. And there's plenty of verses. Acts 2, it talks about they gathered together daily and they kept the apostles' doctrines. That's what we are striving to do. Paul says in 2 Thess 2:15, keep the traditions I've handed down, whether by word or epistle. We don't make up our own. We don't follow the culture. We don't follow man-made church that came along many, many centuries later. We keep the apostles' doctrines. Those are the men that Christ ordained to give us the oracles of God. So that's who we're trying to imitate. 1 Corinthians says, imitate Jesus. And he says, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So that's what our charge is. So those are basically the points that I have. There are a lot more that we could come up with. Those are some of the main ones that have helped me. And the brothers and I will talk about it after this audio. And I would ask you, if you're listening to this, do you know why we do all of this? Why are we so diligent for the Word of God? Well, go read Acts 17. The Bereans were people from Berea. They tested the Apostle Paul to see if everything he said was true. And guess what they were called for that? Judgmental? Nope. Mean-spirited? Nope. Nitpicky? Nope. The Bible calls them noble. That's what I want to be. I know my brothers want to be that. I know the sisters I know want to be that. We want to be noble. And so we want to test all things. And then this scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. That means instruction. Doctrine means instruction. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hey, saints and seekers, I have a question. How can we know what is righteous and what is instructions from God? How to reprove, how to do correction, how to rebuke, how to help people, exhort, if we don't know the Word of God? Yeah, we do this so we can use the Word of God rightly. And eventually you'll use the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a lot of things we do. We actually keep some pre-Torah things. We'll be doing a teaching on that soon. And we keep the new covenant. But that's why we do it, because the scripture is there to give us instruction. And our master said this, Jesus, Yeshua, means salvation. He's our master. In John 4:24, he said, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So if you want to worship God, you got to be in the spirit. You got to be born again. That's the gospel. Go back and study that. And then if you want to do it, really follow him, you got to be in the truth. You can't follow God in lies. There's no lies in God. There's no darkness in God. There's no sin in God. And Paul makes it really clear. This has become one of my favorite verses that really helps people in the street that defend their sin and defend their false doctrine. They just gulp when they hear this verse and they have no defense for it. 1 Timothy 4:16. Apostle Paul, brother Paul says, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Okay, we're not saved by our works alone. No, we don't teach that. We are working for the one that saved us. Our works back up our faith. But who's the truth? Jesus Christ. If we're following him and we have his spirit and we have his word, will we walk in sin, error, and false doctrine? No. We're going to be walking in the truth. So Jesus, the truth, saves us. And part of that is his doctrine, instruction. So doctrine means instructions on how we can live and have a righteous life for the glory of God. And we do that. How do we do that? We talked about it. Rightly dividing the word of God. Cut it straight. And look around you and realize most all of churchianity, or even people that have left churchianity, they're not following God's word straightway. They're making their own way. They're using eisegesis. They're using bad context. They're proof texting. They're twisting God's word. I could have thrown that one in there. Don't be a scripture twister, meaning don't change the meaning of a verse. Get the proper meaning. That really comes with good exegesis. So that's kind of another point we could have talked about. So as I close this out, I just want you to ponder why and how you study the Word of God. We went over a bunch of points. I'm going to close with this. I really always teach people with this, these points. Ready? So read it often and daily. So you read it and then meditate on it. I don't mean sit there with your hands out and hum like New Agers. No, meditate means think on it hard, deep in your mind and your thoughts and in your spirit, and think on it. Become a student of the word, right? So read it, meditate on it, become a student, and then understand it rightly. So you know what it means. Is it in context? Is it good exegesis? Does it apply to you today? Much of the Bible doesn't apply to us today, especially if you read the Old Testament. But it's good for our knowledge and teaching and edification. It shows us who God is. And then ready? Once you understand it, if it applies to you, obey it. You know, many people read the Bible, but they're not meditating. Then they're not understanding it. Then they're not acting to obey it. And then they're not walking in it daily for obedience. So you see that path. So read it, meditate, become a student of it, understand it rightly, then act to obey it if it applies to you, man or woman, or whoever it's for. And then daily walk in it by obedience. That's the fruit that God is working in you. Don't be like the people all around us in churchianity in the world. Oh, yeah, read the Bible 10 minutes every morning. I just witnessed to a guy today. You know what he told me? I offered him a Bible. He was a beggar man walking down the street. I offered him a printed Bible. You know what he said to me? He just confessed that he can't leave his sin. He just confessed that he's probably going to go to hell if he doesn't leave his drinking. I offered him a Bible. You know what he said to me? Nah, I read the Bible once. I said, you can't just read it once, sir. I said, you got to meditate on it. You got to seek it. It's gold. It's pearls. It's riches. He said, no, I'm good. And he walked away. And you know what? I saw him laying on the sidewalk, sleeping off a drunk. I just did. And so men like that, that won't come to the Word of God, that won't be transformed by the Spirit to understand the Word of God, they're never going to be able to help themselves. So that's why you want to read it, study it, meditate on it, understand it, and then obey it rightly. And I can't do justice to a teaching about this without talking about, I talked about it at the beginning. In the book of John 14 and 16, Jesus talks about the Spirit coming to teach us and edify and manifest. He comes to teach, convict, and bring comfort. You really need the Spirit of God to really fully grasp, understand, be able to live and obey the Word of God. So you can read the Word of God to come to the Lord. Oh, yeah. But then to really go deep in Scripture and understand it and get the concepts and be able to walk it out and enable yourself to come out of sin and to lose your flesh and lose this life, it must be done via the Spirit. So you can only go so far if you're not totally surrendered to Christ and you're born again. And then the very last point I have is please avoid books, conferences, programs from other men. Stick to the eternal Word of God. You don't need anybody's new book. Now, if you know biblical men and they're rightly dividing the Word of God and they wrote an article on something that's topical, sure, read it, study it. But you don't need to be buying books. You don't need to be going to people's conferences. What you need to be is in the Word of God, studying it using all these principles. And then you're going to come out way ahead via the Spirit, via other people helping you if you know true saints. And I'm going to close with this scripture verse. I love this book, Ecclesiastes 12:12-14. He says, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that's where I'm going to leave you on how to study God's word. I think I've given you a bunch of nuggets. Make sure that truth is your pursuit. And if you go to God and you say, no matter what, Lord, I will obey your word if it's shown to me. He's a good father. He'll reveal it to you. And then you can walk after it. And you can do what Jesus told us to do. I do have one more verse for you. Matthew 28:20. He says, he talked about going, preaching to the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And verse 20 in Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even end to the world. Right there, that's the end for us. Teaching ourselves, then be able to teach others everything he's commanded. Because why? The greatest commandment, and I keep giving you verses, the greatest commandment is Matthew 22, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it says in the book of Mark, and then we love our neighbor as ourselves. You can't do that if you haven't studied, you don't know, and you're not living after and following the Word of God. So I'm going to leave it right there, and I'm going to stop this audio because it went long, and then I'm going to start a new audio, and we're going to take it to the brothers and see what they have to say. Thanks for listening.